Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
What could you do if your data was working for you and not against you? With Bloomberg delivering enterprise data directly to your systems, you get easy access to the details you want, optimized for higher level analysis, and financial data experts committed to helping you maximize your every move. Our data is made for more, so you can show the world what you're made of. Visit Bloomberg.com/enterprise data to learn more.
This is Bloomberg Business Week. I'm Carol Masser.
And I'm Jason Kelly. We're here every day bringing you the latest news from the world of business and finance.
Plus technology, politics, economics, all harnessing the power of Bloomberg Business Week reporters and editors.
Not to mention our 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries.
You can download Bloomberg Business Week on iTunes, SoundCloud, or Bloomberg.com.
You can also listen to our radio show weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, only on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, I can tell you one thing, Carol. A lot of people here in Atlanta are ready for some football. Coming up on Sunday, the Super Bowl being played right next door to where we are. And, you know, you and I, we sit and watch the game. Yeah, if it goes one way, it goes the other. We're mostly interested in maybe the commercials and you know, what's on the buffet. Don Yee, he's got a little bit more on the line come Sunday. He is partner at Yee and Dubin Sports Talent Agency. He's also the founder of the Pacific Pro Football League. We're going to get into that in a minute. But you've got some talent coming onto the field on Sunday. Don, great to be with you. Tell us what you're expecting on Sunday.
Thank you for having me on. I'm expecting a really good game. You got two terrific teams. I actually, you know many of the people in the Rams organization as well. They're very driven, very ambitious. They've done a great job in a short time frame putting together a championship team. And I expect a very competitive game. And, you know, frankly, I think in most of the Super Bowls the Patriots have participated in, they've been close games, you know, and, and provided great entertainment for the audience and the viewing public.
Wait, okay. You represent Tom Brady.
Yes. And Julian Edelman.
And Jimmy Garoppolo. Yes. Yeah, I mean, these are incredible players.
Yes.
Tell us about that and what it's like. And I am always curious about how many clients of that stature can you take on and manage them well?
Wow, okay. Well, you know, what it's like, first of all, it's very humbling. I'm just very gratified to be able to do what I do. You know, I really like working with people and inspired by their dreams as young men and being along for the journey to see a lot of dreams realized. I've never worked in any other kind of business where I'm not dealing with humans, okay? And so, you know, just to see the trials and the tribulations they have to endure, it's the whole thing's inspiring. And I've been very lucky to work with really high quality people. Just, you know, people are very down to earth.
Do you think about that when you're choosing to represent somebody?
Yes.
I mean, there are star athletes that, you know, are just going to do well. They'll be great money makers.
Yes.
Right? But they might be idiots, jerks, that you don't want to play around with.
Less than stellar human beings.
Okay. Maybe. You are much more eloquent than I am. But do you take that into account?
Absolutely. Well, for us, for my agency, I've always tried to follow a particular formula, if you will. You know, we generally look for three things in every player that we have interest in, and not two of the three, not one of the three. We have to have three things, and one is, you know, ability, enough ability to play the game. The second would be a reasonable level of intelligence, because football is the most highly orchestrated sport, right? And so they have to be able to follow directions, you know? And then the last thing is, you know, is a great degree of humility. And so if, you know, somebody's got their nose up in the air, they're probably not for me. Mm-hmm. So when you look at trying to find somebody, a young man with those three things.
Checks all those boxes, right?
You know, ability, a reasonable level of intelligence, and humility. That's a small universe for my agency.
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. one of the things that seems to be a commonality among the folks you represent, and Tom mm-hmm. Brady being sort of the alpha of all of this, is really thinking holistically.
Well, first of all, actually, you know, for me, they're all number one.
Right, right. I'm saying
yes.
more representative of what I'm about to say, which
okay.
is sort
yes.
of sort of this holistic view of a brand,
yes.
a person, mm-hmm. sort of being a role model. I know mm-hmm. that's a yes. loaded term when it comes to athletes, but how much do you get involved in helping them think through their beyond the field life? Because I know that's something you talked
yeah.
about with
yes.
your new league.
Yes. Well, you know, I take each client on their own merits, which means that I try to really proactively respect who they are mm-hmm. at that moment in time. So, for example, if they're not ready for that kind of conversation or direction, I have to respect that.
Yeah.
They are
mm-hmm.
their own person.
Right.
They're in charge of their future, right? And so I constantly have to adapt to the different personalities, and I try to respect their space, because sometimes if people aren't prepared to listen, then why force the issue,
right.
you know? But I do... my agency, my staff, my partner Steve Dubin, you know, my partner Carter Chow, we all get in there and try to attack these issues, but we try to be very strategic and respectful of where they are.
Yeah.
You know, we feel like football, we feel like so many sports are kind of evolving. Tell us a little bit mm-hmm. about the Pacific Pro Football League and what you guys are doing.
Sure. This will be, it's been something I've been thinking about a long time. It'll be the first professional football league designed specifically for players not yet eligible for the NFL. In order to be eligible for the NFL, you have to be at least a minimum 3 years removed from high school.
Mm-hmm.
So traditionally, there's only been one path essentially to the NFL, and that's through the NCAA system.
Right.
What I want to do is create a professional league that allows those players now to have a choice of the NCAA system, Pacific Pro Football, or a combination mm-hmm. of the two.
Right.
Because there are many talented players out there, even around the world, that would like to play American football, and maybe they don't want to pursue the traditional four-year university academic path.
Right.
And so I want to provide choice. We haven't in the football industry had much innovation at all for a long time.
Do you
time.
Feel like a lot of players get lost, or potential players get lost, because they can't go the other...
Absolutely. Because the traditional system conflates academics
yeah.
and football. And as we know, college football is a money-making business.
Yeah.
But what about thinking about these players, mm-hmm. just kind of quickly, 30 seconds, mm-hmm. that a lot of players don't make it in the big time to make
yes.
sure that they're financially set later
sure.
on? Or think about that.
Sure. So one of the things we want to do is we're going to provide first of all, the concept of education will not be just a four-year college path. It could be vocational. It could
okay.
be an apprenticeship. It could be an internship. It could be a mixture of those things. But what we definitely want to do is spur their thinking about what are my other interests
yeah.
when I'm done with sports.
It's a reminder that things are different. Like, right, there are different paths to do it.
That's right.
What a treasure. Good luck with the game.
Thank you very much.
I know it'll be a fun one for you,
yes.
and really nice to spend some time with you.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Check in with you down the line as this league really gets underway.
Yeah.
Don Yee is partner, Yee and Dubin Sports Talent Agency, based in Southern California, also founder of the Pacific Pro Football League. You are listening live from Atlanta to Bloomberg Business Week here on Bloomberg Radio.
Carol Masser along with Jason Kelly live at the Georgia World Congress Center, counting down to the big game.
Indeed, and we are here in Atlanta, and so we want to check in with, you know, some of the leaders that go beyond the football field, and one of them has made his way here to Radio Row, Dr. Bud Peterson. He's the president of the Georgia Institute of Technology. It's Georgia Tech. That's what everybody calls it. I have to say my dad went there. I've been
Aww.
To a lot of Georgia Tech football games over the years, spent a lot of time on campus, and it really is an amazing economic engine here, Dr. Peterson. Help us understand, President Peterson, I should say, help us understand sort of the role that Georgia Tech plays in Atlanta and beyond from a preparation for this whole category of a really important piece of the economy.
So
One of the recent developments in higher education that probably the past 10 or 15 years is people, businesses, governments have been looking at institutions of higher education to focus on economic development.
Right.
And so that's been a big piece of what we've been doing for the past 10 years or so that I've been here, is to really look at how we can expand the economy of the state of Georgia and the nation for that matter. And we've done that through a series of innovation centers where large companies today, about 30 large companies, Coca-Cola, Chick-fil-A, Home Depot, Delta, all have these innovation centers located in an area we call Technology Square that's adjacent to campus so that they can access the talent and technologies that exist at Georgia Tech.
Well, and keep me honest here, but I seem to recall that Georgia Tech sort of pushed into Midtown a little bit physically, which really kind of changed the dynamic of that part of the city, which was a little bit of a dead zone there for a while between downtown and Midtown, right?
Right. It was a lot of broken glass, vacant lots, and razor wire just 15 years ago. And about 2003, Tech jumped over the connector, over the interstate. There's a pedestrian bridge. It's two lanes of traffic, but it doesn't have on-off ramps to the interstate, so there's hardly any traffic. But moved over there, moved the foundation, the bookstore, the Scheller College of Business, and the hotel and conference center are all there. And that has created this really amazing, vibrant area of Midtown that's one of the fastest-growing innovation neighborhoods or innovation centers in the country.
What's it like to be kind of have so many different corporations around you, well-known companies? I feel like, you know, what you guys are doing at Georgia Tech, how those companies kind of provide an extension of the classroom.
Yeah, it's really great. I mean, it's one of the great things about being in Atlanta. When I first came, we did a strategic plan to try to understand. I mean, some people were saying, well, we want to create the next Silicon Valley.
Right.
Right.
Well, everybody
wants
to do that.
And that's what I was thinking of. Silicon Valley certainly taps into all the companies that are there and all the schools that are there.
And so, you know, I don't think anybody's going to be able to recreate or create what is now Silicon Valley. I mean, the planets all lined up right, and everything was perfect when that happened 40 years ago. What we did was part of the strategic plan is to say, what is special about Atlanta? Mm-hmm. That what can we tap into? And the fact that there's so many Fortune 500, Fortune 100 companies, large corporations here in Georgia Tech. And so this idea of innovation centers is really what kind of came out of that strategic planning process. And so those companies are now housed. Their innovation centers are right there in Technology Square. Some of them are in our building. Some of them are in the Biltmore Hotel. We just purchased that. Yeah. We're building a new 750,000 square foot high performance computing center, and some other companies will be moving in there. But that allows our students to interact. They hire these companies, locate, again, maybe 20 or somewhere between 20 and 50 employees out from the mothership, if you will, where they can innovate and create new things. They hire our students as interns, as co-ops.
Well, and this is what's interesting, and I feel like we've had these conversations. Joe Malone, I don't know if you know the entrepreneur, London-based, created brands, right? And she's really stressing right now the importance of students, kids being taught to be entrepreneurs. That's important for you guys, too.
Yes, it's huge for us. In fact, we have, that's one of the big changes we've seen is 20 years ago, students would come to Georgia Tech so they could go to work for IBM or Delta or, you know, large companies, oil companies, Xerox, you know, those types of things. And today, we get a lot of students that are coming that want to create their own job. So we start about somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 companies this past year out of the technologies and talent at Georgia Tech. So we're hoping to go to 100 by 2020.
One thing I want to make sure we ask you about, only about 30 seconds left. You guys have been really ahead of the curve in a lot of ways with online education, especially on the master's degree level. Tell us what happens next there.
So we've got an online master's, about 7,500 students enrolled in that. We will graduate 7 or 8% of the Master of Science in Computer Science in the country from that program.
And that's growing, I bet.
It's growing. We started a second program in data analytics, and we started one in just this past month, this semester in cybersecurity. So we now have three of these online
but
programs.
But is it typically an older student or no, not necessarily?
Yes,
it is.
It's working professionals. Yeah. So the average age is about 30, early 30s to early to mid 30s.
15 seconds, Patriots or Rams?
I played football in college with the former quarterback for the Patriots, so I have Steve Grogan, so I have to go with the Patriots.
There you go.
Well
Bud
done.
Peterson, president of Georgia Tech, here with us. And speaking of football, you got a new football coach starting this next season. Good luck to you.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly on Bloomberg Radio.
Carol Masser, you never know who you're going to run into here on Radio Row. Evander Holyfield, the real deal, is here with us. Great to be with you, champ. And we could talk about sports. We could talk about football. I want to talk with you about business because you've been very smart about a lot of different things. Now getting behind the Angus Beef brand. What's going on?
Well, certified Angus Beef is what I stand behind, and giving people the very best quality of meat that they can have.
You got to have a lot of people coming at you to represent them. How do you choose?
Well, I have a manager that they talk with, and he explained things, and at the end, we all choose.
All right, did you try the beef before you said, okay, I'm going to do this?
It's great. Yes, I did. I did. The very best. I'm telling you, it's so good, I was able to fix it.
All right, we got to talk football, and I'm just curious. This is quite an event. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what you love about the Super Bowl, the teams that are in there, and what you're looking for.
Well, you know, I like Super Bowl because it gives everybody an opportunity each and every year. It's never over.
Yeah.
It's just, that's the winner, and next year they have to prove itself again. And so it's kind of make what life is really about.
Right.
You got to get over something to move into the new.
And I wonder if near and dear to you, because you got a son involved in football, right?
Yes, I have a son, Elijah. He's going pro, but it's one of the things that, same thing, you got to be the very best you could be each and every year.
Been a breakout player at University of Georgia for sure. One last question I want to ask you, champ. You've been in Atlanta for a long time. You've really seen this city grow, now hosting the Super Bowl. What does it mean for Atlanta to host this game?
It means a lot. It means a lot because we get a chance to get out there and say, let us show you what we can do,
right,
how we're going to make things happen for you and give the people a good opportunity. And I'm sure when they see the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and it's not a bad seat in there.
No.
And it should
be
great.
Amazing stadium.
Yeah, yes. Right. What a treat to catch up with you. Evander Holyfield, four-time world heavyweight boxing champ, getting behind certified Angus beef and so many other things. A real pride of Atlanta. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
As I said when we sat down before we got going on this event, it's like one of those great cocktail parties. You're going to have, you know, Evander Holyfield and our next guest, because this is what I love when we get on the road. You're talking to businesses. It's a great way of putting the big macro stories in perspective. With us is Mary Lassinger. She's CEO at the packaging and logistics company, Veritiv. Their stock, by the way, up about 36% this year here with us in Atlanta, which is where they're based. Thank you so much. Great to have you here.
Glad to be here.
I really do mean it. It's like when we can get down on the level and talk to businesses, tell me about the environment. What are you seeing and what it tells you about kind of the bigger picture?
Yeah, a big part of our company is in the packaging space. And we're about an $8 billion company. We design packaging, we source the materials and deliver to where it's actually consumed by manufacturers. And we've seen strength in our business all of 2018, which was consistent with the economy. And what's interesting about our business and the insights that we have is we cut across a number of industries, whether it's heavy manufacturing, food manufacturing, technology.
Right.
And we're seeing strength generally across those sectors in our business.
Any weakness?
What we're seeing in terms of some changes is that we saw more inflationary prices in 2018 than what we're beginning to see in 2019.
More inflationary prices last year.
Last year than this year.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So you hold a number of different, you sit in a number of different seats, including here on the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta board. You're also on the board of Kellogg. What do you see as you talk to those peers? Is it consistent with what you hear from your team?
Yeah, I think the consistent message that I'm getting from all of those other people I interact with is that the economy appears to be strong mm-hmm. and holding in, but people feel a level of uncertainty and wonder how long it's going to last. And so and what's happening offshore outside the U.S. markets, I think, is what has companies at a greater concern. And the uncertainty around what's going to happen with tariffs, what's going to happen with rates. Mm-hmm. And so whenever there's that kind of uncertainty, people start to pause. But there isn't any real indication that things are actually getting softer in the U.S. And so I worry that we're planning for the worst, but actually are seeing better
outcomes. Still in
outcomes.
A good spot, yeah.
Absolutely.
I want to talk a little bit about Atlanta because, you know, we've been talking to a lot of folks here, even, you know, just talking to Evander Holyfield about this city, the sort of diversity in all aspects, not the least of which is diversity in business. You know, the longstanding joke, I lived in Atlanta for a long time, sort of the business of Atlanta is business. So many different types of companies. I believe you're also involved in the Metro Atlanta Chamber. Help us understand what it is about Atlanta that continues to provide that sort of environment.
Well, Mara, I speak to it to our decision. We've only been in Atlanta, our headquarters, for 4 years,
right.
just over 4 years. We chose to come here for a couple of reasons. You know, the infrastructure is pretty solid. Now, there's no question there's traffic issues, but not compared to other parts of the country,
right. Relatively
speaking. You know, the airport and that enables us to move our people because we're a national company and we need access to airports and infrastructure. There's a strong education community here, and it's a wonderful community for businesses, government, education, and the private sector in general to work together, and they do a very, very good job of that. And so it's attractive for a number of reasons.
You know, I'm listening to you talk, and you mentioned the infrastructure, right? This is so key for you guys to get your, you know, what you make to get to all of your customers. What do you see on that front, and what do we need in terms of upgrades? I mean, I feel like this is that one story that we all talk about. Everybody agrees we need to spend on it. We don't do it.
Yeah, I think it's a big gap nationally, and we ought to be spending money on infrastructure and do it in the right way. But to the
extent, the right way?
Well, I don't have the answers to that, but we need solid highway systems, rail systems, and I do worry we don't do the proper level of investment in those areas to support ultimately business long term and consumers. It ultimately will impact consumers as well.
I want to go back to, if I can, just for a second. I was thinking about the business environment, what you said, because you guys mostly sell to the United States, right?
Correct.
Most of your customers, you do a little bit overseas. I think some in Canada.
Right.
But I am curious, you said about business sentiment, that even though the trade deals aren't going to impact you directly, it does impact your customers, right? Because they may play globally. And so, because we keep thinking about all these other companies that are mostly U.S. are selling in the U.S., that they're insulated, but you're not necessarily.
You were not. So here's what's happening in our business, for example. We buy raw materials out of China, for example, where we can't get them here.
Yeah.
But we also have customers that we support in those Asian markets that where their business is soft, and then that impacts our business. And so to the extent that we're paying higher tariffs, we end up passing that along to our customers, and eventually it'll get to the consumer.
Yeah.
And so everyone's all worked up about trade, but until it has a direct impact on the consumer, because all that matters is really what is the consumer doing?
Who's been out there spending for the moment.
Right. And until that impacts it, there's not as much of a big impact to business.
All right. Before we let you go, got to ask you about the game on Sunday. Who do you like?
Patriot or Rams?
I don't care.
Yeah. Really? Oh, come on. Everybody
You want a good
cares.
Showing for Atlanta,
it's
right?
It's a great story.
Yeah.
It's great to have them here.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just hope the best team wins and they play a good game and that people are entertained by it.
Diplomat.
There you go.
Mary Lassinger, she's CEO at the packaging and logistics company Veritiv, based here in Atlanta, joining us here in Atlanta. And this is Bloomberg Radio.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline, it's teamwork, and it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's Stifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Yes, indeed. There are so many things going on in Atlanta to make sure everything goes smoothly at the big game this week and the Super Bowl, and that includes, of course, security. We have two perfect people to talk to about that. The former New York City Police Commissioner, Boston Police Commissioner, Executive Chairman at Teneo, Bill Bratton, is with us here in Atlanta, along with Mike Majorana. He is Senior Vice President of the Public Sector over at Verizon, based in Virginia, but both in Atlanta. Welcome.
Great to be with you.
So talk to us about security. What is a big game like this have to think about when it comes to making sure that everybody who attends the game is secure, Bill?
I have to think about everything. We were at the briefing this morning. They do two briefings a day, 9 o'clock and 6 o'clock at the police headquarters. And just listening to the myriad of things they have to be involved with, the hundreds of events that have to be policed, the crowd flows, security issues ranging from just that crowd flows on up to traffic. Certainly the terrorism issues are always of concern, but good news this year, as in previous years, no threats that they were aware of directed against the event. The good news. And then to support all of that, and that's what I'm down here for, working with Verizon, everything is very dependent on communications
right.
that won't fail. And so Michael, my partner for the last year and a half on this issue of working with Verizon on ensuring public safety communications.
So, Mike, tell us about that, because obviously, you know, we're in a different world than we were, say, 9/11. We're in a different world than we were at very close to home here in 1996, where there was obviously a notable incident very, very close to where we're sitting. How does communications work today in an event like that?
So Verizon has a decade's worth of experience in supporting public safety first responders, and over the years, they've become more and more dependent on commercial technology, just like you and I use. The 4G LTE network and the features and functionality on that network, priority services, preemption services, having a private core to be able to segregate traffic versus the consumer traffic is all helping improve comms for first responders that are using smartphones, iPhones, Androids. So what Verizon does for an event like this, we've invested $97 million here in Atlanta in the past year to enhance coverage and capacity in venues outside at the Super Bowl stadium. And we've got temporary assets. With the technology that you see today in place, small cells scattered all across the city to improve capacity.
Because you have two things you have to think about. I think about the people who are attending the game, right?
Yes.
Want to make sure that their experience is really cool. Right. They can share it with, you know, friends and family and all that good stuff.
Fantasy
so that's
sports.
One thing.
And
right? That's a big part of this game.
Carol's
right?
thinking about tweeting right now.
No, but it's such a big part of the experience. And then you've got making sure everything's secure so that those right. first responders, right. God forbid something goes wrong, you got to make sure that they can communicate
well, one
clearly.
Of the things Verizon has done, when you ask what's changed over time, that as recently as the horrific events on 9/11, back then, the concern was about security of voice communication,
right.
radio, phones. Now it's a lot about the data transmission transmission of video. So the world and the capacity need, as well as the volume, has changed dramatically. Every one of those 100,000 people in the stadium, every one of the million people in the area, are going to be walking around with a smartphone.
Right.
And when there's a touchdown scored, we're all going to be on the phone. And that Verizon has really moved in, as Mike was saying. They put in 350 miles of fiber optic cable. They've got 300, what they call small cells, which effectively are boosters. So in certain areas, like where we're sitting here, with all that's going on here, they have small cells that ensure that you guys don't go down in the middle of a broadcast. So
we haven't so far, so thank you.
He's using three of our products over there. Thank you for your business.
Charlie.
The issue from the public safety perspective is prioritization, preemption, and collaboration. All those public safety agencies, the 40-some-odd of them with that meeting this morning, all have to have the ability to talk with each other, radio, phone, data, video. They also have to have, normally, interoperability without interruption, but if there were to be an emergency that required, effectively, more resources, more use, they need to have priority over everybody else. And if necessary, in the event of a significant catastrophe, preemption, the ability to shut others down. So think of it as a highway, that eight-lane highway.
Yeah.
They need an HOV lane.
Right.
And in some instances,
like switch,
they need the whole
like
highway.
Switch it, right.
And so what Verizon has been able to build and is continuing to build out for public safety in America is those capabilities, that capacity to ensure collaboration, collaboration that can count on preemption and prioritization.
And we're right inside the emergency operations centers. We've got hundreds of dedicated network personnel here in the city working directly with public safety and law enforcement inside of their business, so to speak, to ensure that they have the capabilities that they've become so dependent upon.
Well, and the scale of it. I mean, and
yeah,
we're seeing it right in front
it.
Of us just in terms of, like, the media who are gathered around. All right, before we let both of you go, got to get a prediction on Sunday. You're going to be back home in New York.
I have a good guess here.
I think we know where you're going, but we're gonna make you say it on air.
Did you hear my accent?
I was just going to say, I love your accent.
Naturally, go Pats.
Well, you did work in Los Angeles for a while. I don't know.
My family maniacs
there
about
you go.
The Pats.
And you're watching from home?
My sister's living in Las Vegas with a partner. They got the big blow-up Pats balloons outside.
They're not shy.
Mike. Who
you like?
And I came in a Ravens
fan. Now,
we were hoping the Ravens would get there. I'm a Maryland guy, but I'm going for the Patriots. The bottom line is there's
smart
a
man.
Bill is a good friend, but they've got a tradition of excellence, and you've got to respect them.
Yeah,
it's
you really have
to. Great team to watch. Hopefully, let's hope for a close game, though.
Let's hope for
an entertaining
game.
An
entertaining game.
And a peaceful game.
Right.
Bill Bratton, Mike Majorana, thank you so much, both.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly on Bloomberg Radio.
I just patted his bicep, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's solid.
Yeah, he's Herschel Walker.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Oh, my God, it's a great thing.
Herschel Walker, of course, you know, one of the best, you know, legendary football players, stopping by to see us here in Atlanta. We're on Radio Row ahead of the Super Bowl. Herschel, I got to tell you, I grew up in Atlanta. A lot of my cousins went to University of Georgia, and meeting you, it's a real treat. I go back to 1981. Those were the glory days, man.
Oh, they were. But I tell you what, it's great to be back in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, my mom is still in South Georgia, and to get back here, I'm always excited about it. And to have the Super Bowl here is incredible.
It's a big deal.
It is a big deal. You know, I was telling someone, I said, this has become one of the most hip-hop capital. And, you know, with the Caffett family having the Pine Tree Studios out there, it's got the studios and the College Hall of Fame.
Right.
A lot of good things are happening here in Atlanta.
That is so true. We've been talking about how diverse the economy
has
become in terms of entrepreneurs, tech, entertainment. It's really kind of cool what's going on.
Oh, it is. It's very cool.
Well,
it's very cool.
You're an entrepreneur yourself. Tell us what you've been up to these days.
Well, you know, you got to probably think that I'm not telling the truth, but, you know, I'm also the ambassador for Bellator. So I'm doing a lot of stuff at Bellator. I own the largest minority-owned food company in the United States and also have a best red drapery company in the United States. One of my biggest love is I have an opportunity to go to a military base every 3 weeks.
Wow.
We treat soldiers. For the last 10 years, we've averaged about 4,500 soldiers a year, where I talk to them about mental health. Like, there's no shame to ask for help because, you know, in my life, I went through a tough time, and I just didn't stay down. I got up, kept getting up, and I tell them the same thing. They're warriors. They're the reason we're the best country in the world because of the United States military. So I want to encourage them as well.
How do you pick and choose how you spend your time? Because I'm assuming you've got a lot of folks knocking at the door either to invest in the businesses or to help them out with stuff. How do you pick and choose?
Well, I do. But, you know, one of the things that I learned, you know, I grew up with a speech impediment. I was a little bit overweight. But my mom has always told me that my Lord Jesus was always guiding me, that as long as I keep him first, I'm going to be okay. And I tell people, your family come first. You know, as long as your family is healthy, you're going to be okay. Well, as long as my family is healthy, I know I got to give back. Giving back is the biggest key because I've had so many people to help me. You know, people talk about my football thing, but I said, guys, I've had great coaches. I've had great offensive linemen that didn't get the rewards that I got. And because I received those rewards, I have to give back. So giving back is my military work that I put in, you know, going to the military base, thanking those young men and women for their service. And, you know, I also do a Kyle Petty charity ride across America coming up in May. And we're starting in Seattle, Washington, going all the way to Key Largo, Florida. And we raise money for chronic ill kids because that's important. Things like that is very, very important.
I agree.
Well, a great homecoming for you, Herschel Walker, here
Wait,
to
call
Georgia.
It. Patriots or Rams?
Well, now that's going to be tough. Reason why.
30
Todd
seconds.
Gurley and Michelle of Georgia. So I'm going to give the edge to, I think the Rams can win if that defensive plays.
Wow. Gurley is the key there, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. Herschel Walker, what a treat.
Thank you.
To catch up with you. Thanks so much.
Biceps for biceps that are amazing.
Yeah. Well, and you heard it. He's the first to pick the Rams. I got to tell you. That's
do you really
great.
Do 1,000 push-ups every day?
About 1,500 push-ups every day.
1,500 push-ups a day. All right.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Jason Kelly on Bloomberg Radio.
So I love getting a chance to talk to someone like our next guest. Rob Frohwine is CEO at the small business lender Cabbage, joining us here in Atlanta. Lots to talk about, but what I love, welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate being here. Thanks for having me.
I really do because we talk so much and we throw it around, small businesses being the backbone of the economy, but it does tell you so much about what's going on in our economy. So tell us a little bit from your perspective. You're lending to small businesses around the country. What are you seeing?
So, well, first of all, small businesses are the backbone. They make up 50% of the non-farm GDP. More than two-thirds of all jobs go to small businesses in the economy. And frankly, that's a trend that exists globally. But what we're seeing is, you know, continued bullishness from the small business market. There's new
same
business.
As last year?
Same as last year, yeah. I would say just as bullish this year. I think, you know, there's a lot of concern that, you know, things are changing in the economy a little bit, but from our small business owners, we're actually seeing very consistent patterns from what we've seen in the past.
Well, and clearly people are seeing a lot of growth here, Rob, and, you know, need not take my word for it, because you've got some pretty powerful backers behind you, both from a private equity perspective, individual investors like David Bonderman, I believe, but also little shop called SoftBank has gotten involved as well, and you're partnering with Alibaba. What do they see in terms of the opportunity here as you look to grow?
You know, I think what they realize is the expansion of the technology market allows small businesses many times to compete on a very level playing field with larger businesses. Mm-hmm. And so getting behind that trend and really focusing on the individuals that are driving, that have always driven a big part of the economy, but now can be even furthered and enabled to do more in the general market is what they're getting behind. They also think that there's lots of opportunities to bring more products and services to them to basically help them even grow faster and become a bigger part of the economy.
From what you're seeing, where are we in the market and economic cycle?
Well, you
He's
know,
smiling. Look into that crystal ball.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was asked this question, you know, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago. And
here
I
we
always,
are.
I always say we're like 12 to 18 months away from a credit cycle. And I've been wrong at least four or
five
times.
For the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Look, you know, I think we're in a period of time that, you know, none of us, at least of our ages, have ever been able to witness. We've never been in a post, you know, decline like from the global financial crisis. Right. So I think trying to apply older norms to current circumstances is hard to do.
And for the balance of 2019, what's the single biggest opportunity for your firm?
So for us, it's all about focusing on the cash flow of the small business. What we realize is if you started a small business, that's because you were great at something, some craft, some skills, some talent, And you want to be doing that while you're working as much as possible. What you don't want to be doing is worrying about your cash flow every night.
Right.
And I say that from personal experience. Many sleepless nights for me. And so we're focusing on recognizing that lending money to small businesses, they're really borrowing to solve cash flow issues. And so what else can we do to surround that customer and take that burden from them and let them focus on what they do best?
Well, we, yeah, good. So great to catch up with you.
Thank you so much.
I really
appreciate the time.
I love that small business area. Rob Ferwine, he's CEO at Cabbage with us here in Atlanta. You are listening to Bloomberg Business Week, and this is Bloomberg Radio.
Because he had high hopes. He had high hopes. He had high hopes.
And so we're joined for the end of our show to wrap it up with a really important topic here, and it really is underneath a lot of what a lot of the players,
yes.
A lot of the companies here are talking about. There is a program called Inspire Change. It's an initiative grant for social justice, and it's a partnership between the NFL and Operation Hope. John Hope Bryant is here with us. He is the founder and chief executive officer of Operation Hope. John, great to have you here with us.
Honored to be with you. Thanks for having me.
So we've been talking a lot about the economy. We do it every day.
Yep.
You are looking at it from the perspective of people who are struggling. And tell us how economic inequality is manifesting itself and what we can do about it.
Well, I'm actually talking about from the perspective of those who actually are driving the economy and get little credit for it.
Yeah.
Who also never got the memo on free enterprise and capitalism and economics and opportunity. So they're spending all the money, but they don't own any of the assets.
Yeah.
They're not the clients of Rob here yet, but they need to be, because startups shoot up, small business and entrepreneurship is where all job growth comes from in this country. And every big business was once a small one. You know, Goldman Sachs was a guy named Goldman and a guy named Sachs.
Yeah.
And Walmart was Sam Walton with the pickup truck and storefront and a high school education. So we think that this issue of social justice or injustice, the driver underneath that is economic equality. So you need an inclusive economy. So I've created the Starbucks of financial inclusion, the private banker to the working poor, the struggling class, the teetering middle class. That's 70% of Americans living from paycheck to paycheck. The folks, the federal workers.
I was just going to say, right?
Yeah.
It was front and center as a result of the government shutdown that we realized these so many Americans are living paycheck to paycheck.
They had 2 weeks of pay.
Right.
And then they were on the ropes.
Right.
And that's most people who have too much month at the end of their money.
How do we break this cycle? Because I feel like we are at a point in our history, U.S. history, where you have so many, or a smaller group of really, really wealthy people getting wealthier.
Yep.
And then you have poor people, and you have not a lot in the middle.
Already a key element of the upcoming presidential
campaign. Yep. Yeah, and we don't have time for this, but in some ways what drove the last campaign were my poor white friends in rural America who felt like they were invisible for 50 years after the Industrial Revolution. So, and once again, the color was not black, white, red, brown, and yellow. It was green, currency, economics. So the issue, when mainstream America has a headache, black folks have pneumonia. So if it's bad for my friend Rob, it's really bad for my friend, you know, Gerald. So this initiative moves, I'm going to get real straight here. We move credit scores 120 points in 24 months.
Wow.
Nothing changes your life more than God or love than moving your credit score 120 points.
How do you do it?
We get in. So the banker can't tell you when they see you that you're not going to be declined for that loan. They must, by law, for fear of being sued for discrimination, take the application. We're sitting 10 feet from the banker all across this country, 24 states. They work for me, not the banker. So my people can say, girl, it looks like the credit report looks like a bus accident.
Yeah.
What's that? Oh, I don't know what that is. That's called an error. Okay. The law is that the credit bureaus can't confirm that within 30 days. They must remove it. When we challenge that to the credit bureaus, and most people have an error on their credit report, they must remove it if they can't confirm it. That's a 30-point pop in your credit score. So if you have a 580 credit score, I've just moved you to 610. What's now happening to your self-esteem? Your confidence, your belief in yourself, it's all going up. Your trust in the system. Now you have a default. You have a charge-off, right? You didn't pay your phone bill and you got divorced 10 years ago. $1,000 phone bill, sold to three different insurance companies, the phone companies, then to Joe's finance company. He bought it for 5 cents on the dollar. He bought it for 50 bucks. You don't know that. It's still showing $1,000. My people do. We call Joe's finance company. We have Joe here. Hey, I'm looking for her. Or looking for Joette. Well, she's looking for you.
Yeah.
We want to buy that debt, 100 bucks. So that goes up another 30 points. My point is, we get you to the point where we can get you to say yes. And now, all of a sudden, you're in the free enterprise system. Half of black Americans don't have a credit score above 620. Let that sink in.
Wow. We have to run.
I know.
Because they're going to...
I was talking fast.
No, and I love it. But I love this, the financial literacy idea. We keep talking about it year after year after year, and we need people like you and others to really help people really improve their situation.
And what if the solution was economics and a number, not race? Not black or white, not Republican or Democrat, if it was a number.
John, we got to run. John Hope Bryant, founder, CEO at Operation Hope. What a way to end. Carol Masser, Jason Kelly, this is Bloomberg.
Thanks for listening to Bloomberg Business Week. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, or Bloomberg.com. You can also listen to our radio show every weekday at 2 p.m. Eastern, only on Bloomberg Radio.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
What could you do if your data was working for you and not against you? With Bloomberg delivering enterprise data directly to your systems, you get easy access to the details you want, optimized for higher-level analysis, and financial data experts committed to helping you maximize your every move. Our data is made for more, so you can show the world what you're made of. Visit Bloomberg.com/enterprise data to learn more.